We're going to have occasion to look at that scripture in a few moments as we are studying this afternoon. I would ask you now to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And I want us to consider lessons that we need to learn from David's moving the ark and Uzzah reaching out, steadying that ark of the covenant and being struck dead by God. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's read the chapter. We have 14 verses here, not very long. Let's read the chapter and get it before our minds as we are beginning our study this afternoon. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather to us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Baalah, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. When they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant during a previous war with the children of Israel, but God cursed them because they had possession of His Ark and they wanted to return it. It wasn't such a prize any longer. It was bringing a plague upon them. And so the men of Kirjath-Jearim, which is a small village about 9 miles west of Jerusalem, they went and they got the ark and they took it to the house of a man named Abinadab. Now David came to rule in Israel, and he decided, after securing his rule and after taking care of some business after he first became king, he decided it was time to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Nothing was wrong with this. Nothing was wrong with wanting to bring the ark back. Nothing was wrong with wanting to bring it to Jerusalem. And certainly nothing was wrong with transporting the ark. The problem was in how they moved it. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So the things that are recorded for us here in the Old Testament are for us to learn from. And here we have a very interesting account of David moving the ark and a man being struck dead. But what's interesting is that this account is recorded not just here in Chronicles, but also in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Details are given in both chapters. So that tells us it's an important part of the history of David and the history of Israel, there are some things that we need to learn from this. And really, all the lessons that I want us to consider from this chapter have to do with God's authority and have to do with us respecting God's authority. Although we don't live under the covenant that was given through Moses and we don't have an ark to bring back to us, we do serve the same God. And He does still maintain authority over us. And so indeed, these things that were written for our learning. The first thing that I would bring to our attention, this account drives home the seriousness of God's authority. Authority is defined as the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, or make final decisions. And God certainly has that. He has that power and right to give commands, to expect us to obey them, and to punish us when we don't. What's interesting is that concerning the moving of the Ark of the Covenant, David consulted everyone except the one that he should have. If you look at verses 1 through 3, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. David is talking to every leader in Israel. He's bringing them together and consulting them and finding out what they think. And he's consulting everyone except God. And not consulting what the Scriptures have to say about this matter. And that's where his problem started. God had specifically told Israel how the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be moved. And it's not until after Uzzah struck dead that David takes the time to go and to study and to learn what this was. If you look just a couple of chapters over in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, Chapter 15, verse 2, then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever." It wasn't for the people of Judah to do that. Remember that the ark had come to rest in the village of Kirjath-Jearim, which was a part of the territory of Judah. But it wasn't for the people of Judah to carry the ark, to transport the ark. It was for the Levites. If you look earlier in the book of Numbers, chapter 4, Numbers chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, God had given instructions regarding how the covenant, the ark of the covenant, was to be moved. Numbers chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, "When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his son shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. They shall put on it a covering of badger skins and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles." Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was constructed with rings so that poles of acacia wood could be placed through those rings. And the Levites would carry the Ark of the Covenant on those poles. That's exactly how God wanted that Ark moved. Now, when God specified that that's the way He wanted His Ark moved, as we study authority and understand Bible authority, when God specifies something, that automatically excludes everything else. Considering worship. As we're studying worship in our Sunday morning class, in our auditorium class, there are some things about worship that God has specified. The acts of worship, the Lord's Supper, the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, offering up prayers, taking up a collection, having instruction from God's Word. God has specified those acts of worship, and He specified the day on which they are to be observed, in particular, two of them. The observance of the Lord's Supper and taking up a collection is to happen on the first day of the week. And there are some things concerning all those that God has specified in the New Testament. But there are other things that He has left to our judgment, like what time of the day are we going to assemble on the Lord's Day? Well, that's not specified. We can meet any time we want to, or the order of services. Again, that is not specified. And if you only attended one place your entire life and then went and visited somewhere else and the order was different, you might think, wait a minute, something's wrong with this church here, until you realize that God's not specified the order in which the worship is to be conducted. And we're free to choose how we wish to do that. But when God specifies something, that automatically excludes everything else. God specified the way He wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be moved, and that automatically excluded every other possibility, including putting it on a cart and having it carried by oxen. Something else that's interesting, if we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and look at verse 4. David proposes, here's what I want to do, and let's move the ark, let's bring it into the city. Verse 4 says, then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David proposed this idea. He had everybody, he had all the leaders of Israel come. He proposed this to them, and he got a unanimous favor, you know, a unanimous decision from all of the people. Yes, it's good to us. It sounds right to us. But notice that didn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to God if we all agree that we need to take a left-hand turn if He's told us to go to the right. Or better yet, He's told us to keep going straight. The majority does not rule with God. God rules. And it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we decide. It doesn't matter if it's right in our eyes or not. That's another thing concerning God's authority that we need to learn. God does not wait to listen to us and counsel us to see what we would have Him to do. Remember, authority belongs to God. God has the right. Well, how serious was God about this? As we saw in verses 9 and 10, a man died over it. That's how serious God is about it. Uzzah was struck dead. And when he was struck dead for touching that ark, David realized something had gone wrong. And David realized that it was important that they stop what they were doing. And so the ark was taken aside to the nearest place, I believe, taken aside to the nearest place. And David waited until he learned the way it needed to be moved. But it cost a man his life. Again, this is recorded for us so that we can learn. So that we can learn to take God's authority seriously. God does not strike people dead today like He did in the Old Testament times. And even in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira are struck dead in Acts chapter 5. And we know that God does not do that any longer. He doesn't have to. Because these have been recorded for us, so we should learn from them. If we do not abide in the authority of God, we anger God. God is not pleased with us, so we need to take God's authority seriously. There's something else. There's another lesson to be learned in this account, and that is the danger of neglect. If you look at verse 3, there's a statement that is made by David, made in passing, but I believe it helps to explain why there was a problem here. You look at verse 3, "Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." We haven't gone after it. We haven't looked into it. We haven't moved it. We haven't done anything with that ark since the days of Saul. It's just been sitting over there in that village. And that was the problem. They neglected it. And because they neglected it, they've forgotten how to take care of it. They'd forgotten how to approach it. And they'd certainly forgotten how to move it. And that tells us there is a danger in neglect. Israel's history is full of this lesson being repeated over and over again. In the days of Josiah, King Josiah, the law of God was discovered. The scroll had been rolled up and had been placed somewhere there in the temple, and no one knew it was there. And they discovered it while they were refurbishing the temple and brought it to Josiah. And he read it, tore his clothes, realizing that the children of Israel stood guilty before God. It was there. It was still in force. It had simply been neglected. Have you and I neglected things in our service unto God? Are we neglecting God? Are we praying to Him like we should, as often as we should? Or does He just hear from us in cases of emergency? Are we neglecting God's Word? Or are we going to it daily, reading and studying from it, learning from it, trying to make the application to our lives today? Our service unto God, are we seeking first the kingdom of God, waking up every day thinking first of how it is we're going to serve God today? How is it I'm going to make a difference for the cause of Christ today? How is it I'm going to lead someone to believe in the Lord today? Or is that really the last thing on our mind? See, if we neglect the Lord, if we neglect His Word, if we neglect the things of God, then we're in danger of departing from God. The reading that we had from Brother Gabe a few moments ago from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't neglect the things of God. But let's exhort one another daily. Let's get in God's Word daily. There is danger in neglecting the things of God. Another lesson that we learn from this account is that sincerity alone doesn't matter. Now, I didn't say that sincerity doesn't matter, because it does. To be sincere means that we are being honest with what we are doing, that we are truly, honestly interested in what is happening. And no one can doubt David's sincerity in this, and no one can doubt Israel's sincerity in this. David, remember, was the man after God's own heart. He was not rebellious like Saul. He meant well. And David teaches us that it is possible for an honest person to be honestly mistaken. What this account teaches us is that even when we are honestly mistaken, there are still consequences. It doesn't matter that we were sincere. There are a number of things in the account that show us that David and the people of Israel were sincere in this effort. First, as we pointed out in verse 4, it was right in their eyes. Now, that didn't make it right with God. That's not where they would establish their authority for it being the right thing for them to do. But if you would have asked them, they would have said, yes, we believe this is the right thing to do, or we wouldn't be doing it. So we don't doubt their sincerity there. It was right in their eyes. And notice verse 7 also. It says, so they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. That's the second thing that shows us they were sincere in this. They didn't just throw it on the old wagon and haul it. There was a brand new cart that no doubt had been made just for this purpose. That showed that they were sincere in what they were doing, that they understood that this was a special thing. They built a new cart to carry it. Now, carrying it on a cart was convenient, no doubt, a lot more convenient than carrying it by hand. But their zeal showed in the fact that they had built this cart. Now, here's the problem. A lot of new carts have been built by God's people out of the idea of convenience. Instrumental music was introduced in the restoration movement in Midway, Kentucky in 1849, I believe it was, because the singing was so bad it was scaring the church mice away. So they believed that they needed something to help them with their singing, and they brought in the melodeon. They brought in a new cart. It was supposedly to help them with their singing, but it completely changed the kind of worship that was being done. You know, as the gospel was able to spread further across Europe after World War II, it was decided by some brethren who meant well that to expedite that process and to get men over there quicker and to get support to them quicker, we as churches needed to pool our funds and either send those funds to missionary societies or send them to sponsoring churches, and those churches would send the funds on. That would expedite it. That would make it go a lot quicker. But that's a new cart. That's not what the Scriptures teach. As we've been studying the church and the work of the church, we see in the New Testament that churches sent their funds directly to those who were in need or directly to the men who were being supported in doing the work of evangelism. New carts are introduced around about us even today. It was mentioned in our Bible class this morning that for a long time now, the churches of men have begun to have two different worship services. Your traditional worship service, so you keep the old guard members, and a new type of worship service, contemporary service, so that we can keep our young people. What's that? That's a new card that's trying something new because we want to keep our people here. But again, where's the authority for that? And we could go on and on with that, the idea of a new card. If it's newer than the New Testament, it's too new. The New Testament is what we need to stick with. But they had a new cart, and that tells us they were sincere about this matter. Notice also in verse 8, they worshipped as they were doing this. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. They were all out there. They were worshiping as this was going on. They were sincere about it. Uzzah cared. Verses 9 and 10, the Ark of the Covenant starting to fall over. And he cares about this matter. The ark has been kept at his house, at his father's house. He's used to seeing this. He doesn't want to see this thing fall over on the ground and its contents spill out all over the place. So when he sees that it begins to fall, he puts his hand up to touch it. Now that was a sin before God. And God struck him dead. But see, Uzzah cared, didn't he? If he didn't care, he wouldn't have put his hand up. So Uzzah cared. And we know David cared about this. We know that David was sincere because of David's reaction. If you look in verse 11, first, David is angry. How could God do this? And then, after he gets control of himself, verse 12, David is afraid. So it wasn't just a normal thing that happened. The way David reacted, it was right in the eyes of the people. They built a new cart. They worshipped. Uzzah cared about it. David cared about it. They were sincere. Just because they were sincere didn't mean that it was right with God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here are people who are sincere. They've been engaged in acts that they believe they need to be engaged in, believing that they're doing it in the name of the Lord. They're sincere. But the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. David wasn't doing the will of the Father. He wasn't moving the ark the way God told him to do it. And when you and I are ignoring what Scripture tells us to do and doing our own thing, we may be sincere. But that doesn't mean that we're right before God. Something else that we learn from this account is that ignorance is no excuse. David is obviously ignorant of God's instruction concerning the moving of the ark. Uzzah was too. Or neither one of them would have done what they did. Why couldn't God have just overlooked this? I mean, this was an honest mistake. They meant well. They were sincere. Yes, they might have done some things wrong. Why didn't God overlook this? Well, while God is a loving God, While he is a merciful and patient God, he is also just and righteous. God had told the people of Israel how they were to move the ark. And God had given instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 17 that whenever a king took the throne, he was to write his own copy of the law. David should have already gone through the law. David should have already known this. They transgressed before God. And God, in His righteousness, struck Uzza dead. It was the right thing for God to do. You know what the Scriptures teach us? Is it doesn't matter if our sin is committed in rebellion or in ignorance. Sin is sin. And it is going to be punished. God has revealed His will to mankind, and He holds us responsible for knowing His will. Therefore, do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God lamented, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Why? What this account right here shows us. God had told them how to do it. Not only had they neglected the ark, but they had neglected His word. They didn't know. But ignorance was no excuse. Philippians chapter 2 and at verse 12 tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're not to say ho-hum and go ahead and do whatever it is we want to and just assume that it's going to be all right with God. No, therefore, my beloved, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This idea that God will overlook our ignorance is just the opposite of what we're told in Scripture. And in the book of Hebrews at chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? If we live in a more privileged time, then we have a greater responsibility before God to know and understand and obey His will. And indeed, as the writer says, we, that is those of His time and those in this dispensation, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Because not only do we have the Word that has been spoken by the Lord and has been confirmed by those who heard it and confirmed by the miracles and recorded for us in Scripture, but today we have the advantage, we have the privilege of the access that we have to the Word of God. We can access it in so many different ways, in so many different formats, and we can search the Scriptures with helps and study aids that are available to us today that haven't been available to generations past. How are we going to fare standing before God if we remain purposefully, willfully ignorant of His Word? No, we need to study. We need to learn the Word of God. Uzza paid with his life. How will we fare if we remain ignorant of God's Word? And this passage also tells us that God honors our obedience. David had done wrong. Uzza had done wrong. Uzza paid for it with his life. But as I said, you go just a couple chapters over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. David speaks again, as we saw in verse 2, says, "Then David said, 'No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever.'" So the Levites are called before Him. You look at verses 12 through 15. It says, "And He said to them, 'You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. Because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult Him about the proper order.'" As I said before, they consulted everyone except the one they should have. Now David realizes that. We should have consulted God. We should have consulted His scriptures. Verse 14, "So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. And the ark was brought safely to Jerusalem, to the place that David had prepared for it. When David sought the Lord's will and did it, God respected that, and God honored it, and God gave the ark safe passage into Jerusalem." Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and at verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." It's not, let's survey the people and see if it's all right in everybody else's eyes. It's not, let's build a new cart and honor God with a big worship service. No, it's fear God and keep His commandments. That is our duty. And what we learn in Scripture, what we learn from this account, and we learn from other Scriptures, is that even when we do what is wrong, even when we sin before God, if we will repent and we will do what is right, God will respect it. God will honor it. I want to look at one more scripture in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Here, God is speaking to stubborn Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 23, "But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he's committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" It's not too late to do what is right. Even if we've disrespected God's authority and we have done what is wrong, it's not too late to react appropriately, to repent, and to seek God's forgiveness. As we pointed out in our study this morning, that may not do away with some of the temporal consequences of our sins. We may have to bear those burdens the rest of our lives. But the spiritual consequences of our sins can be forgiven. And in the end, knowing that we are right with God, that is the peace that passes all understanding. That is where we desire to be, is right with God. This passage teaches us so many lessons, if we'll take the time to learn from them. We don't need to consult people about what to do in our service unto God. We need to consult the Scriptures. We don't need to build new carts to honor and impress God. We need to learn to be content to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. Let's learn the lessons we need to from these things that have been written aforetime. If you're here and you're not a Christian, not a child of God, we're going to invite you to become one, encourage you to become one, not the way that you might want to or the way we might want you to, but the way that God makes available to you. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. That means that He wrote the rules. So if we're going to be saved, we must be saved the way He tells us to be saved. We must believe that He is the Son of God We must repent of our sins, confess our faith, and be baptized, immersed in water, to have our sins forgiven. And it's there that we become born again. We rise forth to walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, we would encourage you to do it. If you have but need to make things right, or if you need our prayers, we would invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.